I'm going to piggyback on where we were last week. If you were here last week, you know during the service, we just told you if you need healing to come and sit in the chairs and so several came. Today I want to talk about encountering God. Sometimes we come to a place where we just think we're okay. We don't need more. We don't need to live any differently. We don't need this. We don't need that. But if you're not pursuing God and being a missionary, you become a mission field. If you have folded your tent and waiting for the rapture, you're missing a lot. We need, not necessarily always because of us, but because of the people around us, the glory of God, the manifested presence, the anointing, the manifested power. We need revelation. We need wisdom. We need direction. We need to hear what God is saying in 2016 so we have value on the earth. You are valuable to God. But we need to take that value that we know God loves us and accepts it and disperse it wherever we go. We need to honor people. We need to look at people as being valuable. And so, I'm going to get your attention right now. There are many believers who are disillusioned, who are discouraged, who are defeated, who are spiritually depressed because they're not seeing God's involvement in their lives. And so they look at things and they're a little bit like Gideon. If you're the God of miracles, where you been? And so something has to change in the life of believers so that they are not living a life of being disillusioned, discouraged, discontent, depressed spiritually. And you come to a place where you're checking out. And if you don't want to hear that, that's too bad. And so God is coming and saying, I want your attention. I want you to understand that I want to work in your life, but you're too busy with everything else to get involved in what I want to do. And so you walk around like a half-baked Christian, just hoping that things come in order. And it doesn't work that way. And so God is saying, I want to encounter you. I want you to again experience me. And what we don't understand is that experience is available. I just mentioned to the men at the end of the service yesterday when Keith got done preaching that John G. Lake, who was amazing when he was alive, seeing healings. Fact is, he'd go to the medical places, research places, they'd put germs under a microscope, he'd pray, and they'd die. Pretty powerful. So one day he's done preaching and God says, I want you to get your house in order. In the spring, you're going to Africa. The problem was he had no money. He was a millionaire before that, but he gave it all away. And so he takes his wife and the few dollars they have and their children, go to the shipyard, stands in line, not having enough money to buy the ticket, but when he gets up the counter, somebody decided they couldn't go where they were going and they bought his ticket and his family. The interesting part of that is that they took, you know, how many remember Spam? Remember a fried Spam sandwich? Delicacy, especially if you have onions and mayo and all the... But I'm sure they took potted meat and Spam and all the stuff they could take with them. And for the 2 weeks trip, that's what they ate. The last night on the boat, the captain came down and said, we haven't seen you in the cafeteria. And John said, well, we never bought meal tickets. And the captain said, well, that was included in your fare. God encounters is included in your fare. Is included in the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for us. Is included in whatever God has given you. But he wants us to eat some spiritual saltine crackers so we get hungry and we get thirsty for what he wants to do. There's nothing worse in your life or my life than spiritual contentment where we're just satisfied where we are. I know that Carnation used to be the milk from contented cows. Because Jorgensen's fed them. But it's a lot deeper than that if we come to a place in our spiritual walk where we're looking at our lives and saying, well, I'm saved. I might even spoke in tongues once or twice. And I'm just satisfied. I'm content. There's nothing more. God, I got it all together. And God's saying, read what he said to Laodicea. You're poor, you're wretched, you're blind, and you're naked. He wants to clothe you with himself. Do you realize in Luke chapter 24, when he told the disciples that they need to go and stay in Jerusalem until they be clothed, endued with power on high? God wants to clothe us in the Holy Spirit. God wants us to experience something that's so far beyond what we can understand that when we tell people about it, they think we're lying. A Paul Tucker experience. And we are satisfied at times, and I'm not being mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but we get so satisfied with so little. And God is saying, I want to baptize you in me. I want you to walk this life out, flowing in my Holy Spirit, not afraid of the devil or what he can do, but honoring me and what I'm doing. Love the way you're shouting. I better get it out before my voice goes. Isaiah chapter 60. I want to show you a few things. Isaiah chapter 60. Look at me. COC has been okay. Okay? We've been okay. But okay doesn't cut it. Okay is not on the cutting line. Okay is not where God wants us to be. God wants us to live and walk and treat people and enjoy life like Jesus did. When that happens, we're going to realize how much we've missed and how much more there is. The only time you can look at yourself and say, I'm spiritually alive, is when you're looking Jesus in the face in heaven. Then I've arrived. I shouldn't say alive. I should have said arrived. That's the time you can say you arrived. I understand we're forgiven. I understand salvation. I understand the Holy Spirit, partially. I understand the things Paul wrote to us. But I miss that encounter that takes me deeper and deeper and deeper into the reality of Jesus Christ, into a life that's not wishy-washy and up one day and down the next day, you know, beat up and then tormented and disillusioned and depressed and discouraged. I told the people something. I want to tell you. You can't counsel demons. You can't counsel a demon. You cast them out. And you can't counsel oppression. You get rid of it through Jesus. We okay? Now give the Lord a hand and get your hands working if your heads aren't. Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Say that with me. Darkness shall cover the earth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what the word's talking about? And deep darkness of people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. How many's ever seen a firefly? What's unique about them? What's unique about a firefly from one that just bites you? They light up. There they are, then they move, and there they are. You're supposed to glow. You're supposed to glow, and I'm supposed to glow with the presence of Jesus Christ. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and people will see your light, and they'll come. How do I get there? What do I do? I'm going to tell you right now, it's not up to God to do that. It's up to us to get where he can do that. The first thing I believe that God wants us to be is hungry and thirsty. Look at Psalm 42. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continue say to me, where is your God? We look at that and say, well, boy, he kind of gets naughty at the end. I don't think so. As a deer pants for the water brooks, my soul pants after you. What are you thirsty for? And what are you allowing to satisfy that thirst? Some people may say, well, if I could just get healed. Other people may say, if I could just get out of debt. Some people may say, if my family would just come together. So what are you longing for? And who is able to perform the things you're longing for? We say, well, man, I want health. I want this. I want that. Seems like I am the God that healeth thee. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. You know, what else you need? We look in the wrong place to satisfy a thirst that can only be satisfied by God. The Bible says, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall starve. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And when God talks about filling something, he's talking about more than enough. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come. When you come, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because he had not been crucified. Are we thirsty for things that aren't important? Are we thirsty for things that will never satisfy the thirst? Oh, if I could just win the lottery. You think you got issues now? Win the lottery. I double dog dare you. Oh man, I got millions. Yeah, and you got more relatives than you've ever seen. If I could just have this, if I could just have something else, if I could just have a new car, if I could have a new house, if I had new carpet. Mine is, if I could just stop a stinking water leak. You know, we get satisfied with so little for a short time that is crazy. Everything I see in the Bible about hungry and being thirsty is coming to Jesus. Isn't it amazing? In my own life, I'm just relating. Every time I get an issue, I'm too busy to pray. Isn't that great? It's like you're sick and you just don't have time to go to the doctor. But there's something going on in our lives that we're too busy just to sit before God and tell God about what's happening, and he already knows. He's just waiting for you to come. I read about a pastor who doesn't counsel. What a wonderful man of God. What he did, he'd set up appointments with people. You got issues? Come on in. Bring your spouse, bring whoever. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to sit in the sanctuary and pray for an hour before you come in and talk to me. You know what happened? People prayed for an hour, they got the answer, they went home. How do you like that? Is that okay? Thirsty. The early church before it was the church, the disciples, saw Jesus. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. What are you beholding? I want a vision of Jesus. And you say, what are you talking about? I want a vision of Jesus. Why? Because I love Jesus. I want a vision of Jesus because I want him to walk in, and I don't care if he says anything. I just want to see his glory. I prayed for a man years ago, dying of cancer. His niece called me and said, will you go up to the hospital and will you pray for my uncle? And I said, sure. So I went up to the hospital. I prayed for her uncle who was in a coma. Walked out, came back the next day. He's sitting in a chair. I said, what happened to you? He said, well, you prayed for me. Really? And I said, what happened? He said, when you prayed for me, Jesus walked in my room. He took my cancer and he left with it. There are days we need a vision of Jesus like that. Just contact. I have no doubts he exists. But I have no doubts about Mount Everest either, but I just haven't seen it. I want to see Jesus. I want a God encounter that shakes every bit of Dwight Fearing, and that which don't belong in here shakes out. Yeah. And you know something? Sometimes we're afraid to let that happen. And sometimes it's not because we're afraid of what will shake out. Sometimes we're afraid there's nothing there to shake. Sometimes we just feel empty. And sometimes we have that goofy idea that if God knows about us, he won't like us. God knows all about you and he loves you as much as he ever has. I want to take you on three biblical God encounters and I'm done. How many can count to three? Hold up one finger. This is the first one. The first one is Moses. And I'm not going to read all this scripture to you, but I love this. God comes to Moses and said, I'm going to have you lead the children. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go with you into the country, into the promised land, although they didn't make it. And Moses' response to God is, God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. Good response. Let's not go where God's not leading us. And so they're talking, they're conversing. And Moses says, show me your glory. And God said, well, nobody's ever seen my face and lived. Something like that. And God is saying, and Moses is saying, I want to see your glory. So God hides him behind a rock and he passes in front of him. The next chapter, we see God giving Moses the Ten Commandments. Toward the end of that chapter, we see Moses coming down the mountain and he's glowing with the presence of God. Glowing. Fact is, he glowed so much that they put a veil over him. And you can read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. They put a veil over him so they could look at him. And the Bible tells us in that chapter, when Moses went out to be with God, he took the veil off. But when he was with the people, he put the veil on. A revelation of God. Seeing the glory of God. I want that. I know the Holy Spirit. I understand that, some of him. Not all of him. I know the Father, and I'll take a picture of him too. That'll work. But I have a hunger just to look at Jesus. To see their glory. The second one is found in Acts 26. He must have talked to James about getting knocked off a horse. But I've researched it and it says he fell to the ground, okay? Acts 26, verse number 12. While thus occupied, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who were journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to my heavenly vision. You ever look for purpose? God looked at Paul, who then was Saul, and said, I've called you for this purpose. I've called you for purpose. When you look at your life and feel, I have no purpose, I have no reason to be here, whether it's as a Christian or as a human being, you come to a place where you allow the thoughts of the enemy to fill your mind. God called Paul or Saul with purpose. You do not get your identity from what you do. You get your identity from who God is. I want you to think about that. Too often, well, you're a teacher, you're this, you're that, you're a plumber, you're a carpenter. Your identity is from God. Paul got that identity. He had a God encounter that absolutely, radically changed his life from persecuting and having Christians killed to preaching the gospel and dying as a martyr. Pretty amazing. I personally believe that as believers step into God encounters, they'll realize a significance that they've never, ever known before. And they'll be full of purpose. Number 3, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. This is as close as I've come to a vision of Jesus, but I like it. Then I turned to see the voice in verse 12 that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girt about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like the brass as refined in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars out of his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in all his strength. And when I saw him, I felt his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and I have the keys of death and hell." God encounter. A God encounter. As we become hungry and thirsty for Him, His presence and His countenance we sense and we can see. As good as we are, it still doesn't compare to Jesus. As much as we see God do, there's still more. And as long as you've been serving God, and you've seen God minister, you've seen God touch, you've seen God heal, you've seen God deliver, we need more. How do we get there? The Bible says we'll find Him when we seek Him with all our heart. I close with this. Please listen. God cannot have a secondary position in your life. There's no guilt here. All I'm trying to do is present an open door for us to step in together. I need, I want, I desire, I'm thirsty for a God encounter. But I want to take people with me. I want to take people with me. Life is not enjoyable, is empty, without an ongoing relationship daily with Jesus Christ. I don't want to go from Sunday to Sunday without God encounters. I want to go daily. I want you to experience that. I want you to sense that. I want you to get a little more hungry. I just read about all the generals. Just read it again with a book from Bill Johnson. This morning, or last night when I came to church, I read about Reese Howell. Probably never even heard of him. Reese Howell was a man who gave up everything, and he and his wife went to Africa. They even had their son stay with a family for the years they were gone. But Reese Howell was bathed in the presence of God. Some people from America went over to visit with Reese Howell's son, Samuel. And Reese Howell started a Bible college with 25 cents in his pocket. Got a building. I'm going to go up in the property with my quarter. And people from America went over to see his son. I think he died in 2004, Samuel. And I read this in a book a while back. And they said, "Tell us about your father." And Samuel just bowed his head and said nothing. And they said, "Please, tell us about your dad." Finally, his son looked up with tears in his eyes. And he said, "My dad was consumed with the presence of God." I want you to think about that. My dad was consumed with the presence of God. I want us there, folks. I'm not trying to build a church of thousands of people. I'm trying to build the kingdom of God with what we have. The king's domain. The presence of God. And knowing that every one of us are flowing in the Holy Spirit. You know, we start with salvation. There's a lot of different directions we go after that. Don't miss being consumed with the presence of Jesus Christ. His grace is totally sufficient for all our inadequacies and all our weaknesses. And God invites us to come to Him. Stand with me, will you?